Alrighty, you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
You gonna do your warm-up?
Me.
Oh, that was beautiful.
La 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 la. I'm ready.
Wow, that was gorgeous. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy. It's a very special episode.
Oh, it's not special at all.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize. Can we start over, please?
This is a very special second starting.
Oh, I was going, after you gave that beautiful singing intro, I was going to say that this is a very episode because... Because Mike is singing once again.
Okay, now wait. There you had a reason for it to be special. Yes, you didn't just say it's special. You said it's special because of this. So that makes sense.
Well, okay, then I'm allowed to say it's special.
You're always allowed. I just disagree when you say this is special this time. And this time it's special. And this time it's special.
Yeah, I see your point. Okay. I guess I do abuse it sometimes. But anyway, I would like to welcome you, and Mike would like to welcome you in his best
welcome.
Opera voice.
Oh, this is Mike?
Yes, and this is Stephanie, and we're here doing Pork Therapy on the love seat
again. We're on the love seat.
We're back on the love seat after some turmoil, right, Mike? You had an interesting adventure when you were on your road
trip. Yeah, I had a road trip through 15 states, 7 of them twice, and one state assaulted me twice.
Yes.
The cops of one state. Kansas sucks.
That's really terrible.
Okay, Kansas doesn't suck if you happen to be a listener and lives there, because I want you to stay a listener. But Liberty is in peril more so in Kansas.
Well, it has nothing to do with them. It's the stupid state they're living in.
The government of Kansas sucks, as all governments do.
They should be moving their asses to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. But anyway. Well, Mike had some...
And speaking of perilous history, our podcast feed has been down for a long time, and we're struggling. You know, we have no money, and no one's donating. So we have no means to fix it, and we're trying, although you can still hear every episode on our website, we're trying to get the podcast feed back up.
Yes, so bear with us. We're having a little bit of a crisis here.
Whereas Dale would say, there's a muffin emergency!
There is a muffin emergency. I don't know, there might be a muff emergency. So, Mike, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight, we're going
to... We didn't even explain what happened to you in Kansas.
Well, let's save it. Let's actually...
I think this
is
relevant to the topic that we're talking about.
Actually, it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, let's let people call and ask about it so they're more enticed to call the show and ask questions. But it is relevant.
Well,
so,
we need to entice them another way.
Yeah.
Listeners, Mike will take off his shirt if you call right now, 419-PT-LOVE-4. And so will
right now,
Bridget.
Our female peanut gallery just took off their shirt.
Woo-hoo! That was hot. And
our male peanut gallery missed it.
And since this isn't a video podcast, you can't see any of it.
Yeah, trust us, she's
but
hot.
But if you want us to... Yes, she is very hot. But if you want us to do this again, you should call us. And
yes.
What is the number, Mike?
419?
Yep, 419.
419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right.
Okay, so what happened to me in Kansas was... I'm in my motorhome driving cross country, and a cop pulled me over for not pulling out of the fast lane fast enough out of a toll booth. Never mind that it was only a couple hundred yards, and I had my signal on and was waiting for cars to get out of my way. He pulled me over for that. Then, when he didn't give me a ticket, he just gave me a warning, he said, you're free to go. Can I ask you a few questions? I said, okay, and which was my mistake. And I don't want to get into the liberty aspect of this. I just...
Well,
we should. Deeply.
Yeah.
All right.
It's relevant.
I don't want to get into what I did right or wrong regarding liberty activism or talking with cops. I just want to talk about our topic, which I'll explain in a minute. So the cop then said, do you have any illegal substances, any pot, any large sums of money, that kind of stuff, any guns in your motorhome? And I said, no. And then he said, okay, stand over here. I'm going to have a drug dog sniff your car. And I said, what? Why? There's no crime. He said I was free to go, et cetera. And he did it anyway, because he's a cop and he has the guns and he's a thug. So they called in dogs. We waited 15 minutes. Dogs sniffed around my thing twice and didn't alert. So I went on my way. An hour later, still in Kansas, another cop pulls up behind me, waits 1 or 2 minutes while I'm driving, and then pulls me over. He says I was weaving in the lane and almost crossed the line.
So it was a windy day, and you're driving a huge RV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty hard
And I didn't even go out of the lane, and he's pulling me over. So then he says, I'm going to give you a warning for that. And unrelated, he wrote me a ticket for not having insurance in Kansas, even though legally you don't need it in New Hampshire. And I explained
that
to him.
Which is where the car was.
Right.
The
but anyway, then he said, you're free to go. Can I ask you some questions? And I said, sure.
So wait, sorry, can I interrupt?
Sure.
So both cops said you were free to go and then said, let me ask you some questions?
Yep.
So they both used that tactic. I mean,
yeah, and I've heard from others since this happened, other activists, that this is a common tactic. Not, yeah. I don't know if about Kansas or in general.
Including
or in
a former cop, right? Who said that it was... Yeah.
No, former... yeah, I guess so. I guess he did say that, didn't he? A former cop said this is a very common tactic.
Hmm. Okay.
So they said, are you free to go? And then they asked me these questions. Then And I said, wait a minute. The other cop an hour ago asked me this. I'm suspicious. Do you suspect me of a crime while you're asking me this? No, I don't have anything illegal in here. And then he said, okay, stand over here. I'm going to have a drug dog sniff your car. He happened to have a drug dog in his car. And when I say happened to, I mean that was no coincidence because I asked another cop later if they sniffed every car, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, the people in Kansas must hate that. And he said, nah, they don't seem to mind.
Yeah, they don't really mind.
So he sniffed my car, and he did alert his dog. And I say he alerted his dog because
the first dog
there was no pot or nothing illegal in my car. There's nothing to trigger on. There's no way this dog triggered.
Yeah.
So it's anyway.
Ridiculous.
So then he tells me I have to sit on the side of the highway while he searches my car. Now, not only is that bad enough, but this is my car and my home and every one of my belongings ever is in there.
And your millions, you know, thousands of miles from all your friends and all your activist network.
Yeah,
and everyone
which, by the way, is probably why he pulled me over. Out-of-state license plate.
Sure.
Good target for collecting revenue. Because who's going to want to come back across the country to go to court for a traffic ticket? But anyway, so he's searching my every belonging in my home and my car while I'm on... he won't even let me watch, so I don't know if he's stealing anything. you know, I have to... people always say, you know, the cop was very polite, and he was, but that doesn't... You know, a polite thug is still a thug.
Well, someone can be polite while they're kicking you in the crotch.
Yes.
And doesn't
excuse
change
me, sir.
What they're doing.
Please be prepared because I'm going to kick you in the crotch.
Yeah.
Hi-ya!
Yeah. It's like that.
So that is what happened to
me.
It was
a great hi-ya, by
thank
the
you.
Way.
It went off the charts.
It did go off the charts.
So let's see. So after, I don't know, roughly an hour of searching and essentially finding nothing, he found a bunch of stuff that he thought was suspicious.
And during that time, we were so worried about you that we were ready to start calling random.
Yeah, I mean, I was making
calls
to Pork 411 and alerting my friends what was happening. And then eventually, the cop just took my phone away from me.
Right. So we had no way to contact Mike, and we were worried that he had been arrested in the middle of Kansas with nobody to help him and all of his belongings in this RV that the police were going to confiscate. And so we were really worried about him. Didn't know what to do, and
thank
we were
you.
Trying to figure out. Well, we care about you, of course.
So that is the kind of the detailed version of what happened, but the short...
But what happened after that? You said that the cop, you know, after an hour of searching...
Oh, he found a lot of stuff that he found suspicious for me being a drug trafficker. And I explained away all of it, and
you did have a legitimate explanation because you're not a drug dealer.
Right, so. I had lots of legitimate explanations.
Right, even if
I hadn't... Ironically, I had no proof of any of them. He found a lot of cash... bundled into thousands, which apparently is what drug dealers do. I don't know why they'd be so conspicuous. But anyway, I said, oh, yeah, I just withdrew that from the bank because I was making this road trip and I'd need it for repairs or anything. And then I realized, oh, I didn't have a receipt because I used a canceled check instead. So I couldn't have... And then I said, well, we can call the bank. Oh, the bank's closed in that time zone, et cetera. I had no proof of anything, but I kept explaining it away. And eventually he believed me and let me go.
And you had a postal scale because you run
mail to jail.
And you need to, you know...
There was all kinds of stuff that looked suspicious from his point of view, but wasn't. And he finally let me go. And... I guess there's people out there who are possibly thinking, well, he let you go with no harm done, so what's the big deal? And let's talk about that another show. Because what I want to talk about this show is...
Well, okay, let's segue into the topic.
Yeah.
How did you feel after this happened?
While it happened, exceptionally violated. With the drug dogs, I felt violated and annoyed because I'm a liberty activist and I've dealt with cops before and that was very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were searching my car... I felt helpless and very scared and frustrated and violated because they were searching through, you know, my underwear and every one of my precious belongings, which they could break. And they were searching, you know, my RV home like you see them do it in the movies. They were just taking stuff off the shelves and setting it down. And they weren't going to clean it up. They don't care if they break stuff. They were just looking for what helped them.
Yeah, no
and
way.
I'm sitting on the side of a highway. I mean, I had to pee. And I even told the cops, can I pee? No, wait. Well, I'd pee right here in the weeds if you wouldn't arrest me. So I couldn't pee.
Yeah.
They took my phone away. So I felt totally... violated and helpless.
Yeah. Well, I could totally understand how you felt violated and helpless. And
also nervous. When he kept finding things that he thought were suspicious, I knew they weren't because I'm not a drug trafficker, but I'm thinking, oh, this cop's not believing me. He even said that. I don't believe you at one point. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy's going to arrest me, take all my stuff, put me in jail in Kansas, thousands of miles from anyone I know, when I'm in the middle of plans, a road trip. And I was totally nervous that was going to happen.
Right. So, completely understandable why you felt that way.
Yeah.
And how did you feel after that incident?
Well, as soon as they let me go, I did not answer any more questions. I did not do anything. I didn't even clean up. I started my RV and left.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm driving away, I decided to not stop until I was out of Kansas. Not that other states couldn't do this. I was just needing some kind of closure in my mind.
Sure.
So I drove eight or ten more hours until I was out of Kansas, stopping only once for gas. And I was fuming and infuriated and, I don't know, not really, some kind of angry version of nervous, like mm-hmm. looking at every car, making sure it wasn't a cop, and driving exactly the speed limit, and trying not to weave in the lanes despite the wind, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and how long did that feeling last?
Oh, I'd say it wore off as time passed. I'm still infuriated by the issue, by the tyranny of this government, of government in general, but, you know, I'd say within a few hours, I take this back. Within a few hours, I was becoming calmer again and mm-hmm. realizing, okay, I got out. They didn't actually harm me. They just, you know, harassed me, and I was kind of calming down. But then as I realized, you know what? I've decided not to stop in Kansas because they might just harass me for parking somewhere, et cetera. So mm-hmm. I've got to keep driving, and I'm really tired, and I've been driving, what, 12, 15 hours today, whatever it was. And so I was angry that I was doing that because of the Kansas cops.
Mm-hmm.
So I was angry again.
Sure.
And then I went to sleep angry, and then I woke up fine.
Okay.
And went to sleep just over the border in Colorado.
Well, I can see why you wanted to get out of there, but you're right about the fact that it was a little bit, I don't know, almost pointless, because that kind of thing could happen to you anywhere. It might have been particularly
right.
bad in Kansas, and they had some policy or
right.
who knows what. But
I didn't. They could have done it in Colorado too.
Yeah,
I just
could have done it anywhere. So they could do it in New Hampshire. I mean,
I'm still nervous when I drive around. And that story I just told you was one very specific example. But the thing we want to talk about today is
a specific topic, which basically it came from a Facebook post of one of our friends.
Yeah, and
she said, how do you deal with the constant low-level anxiety of living in a police state?
Right. Now, here in New Hampshire, I have hundreds of friends able to support me if I am in trouble with the cops because of their tyranny or whatever, and I'm used to dealing with it, and I kind of want to make a point, make education, etc. at different times. And so if I get pulled over or get accosted by a cop at a 420 celebration or something like that, it's not that big a deal. I'm expecting it. I kind of want it so that we can make a point, so we can video it and show people that cops are tyrannical, etc. But even in New Hampshire, when I'm driving my regular car and I'm driving the speed limit because I don't like to be harassed, I am nervous.
Yeah.
Whenever I see a car that could be a cop, I check my speed.
I do too.
Whenever I'm driving at night, that's when cops like to prowl because there's fewer cars around, easier targets.
And
I'm much more
hide
nervous.
In the darkness.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Whenever I see a speed trap cop on the highway, which is common here in New Hampshire, or on the road, I'm nervous. I look in my rearview mirror. Are they following me? Did they pull on the road? And so that's a low level nervousness as opposed to a very high level nervousness and fear that I felt in Kansas.
Right.
But it's every day.
Right. And it is a low level, constant, chronic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you said, like, you know, every time I see a cop, I feel a little bit nervous, I get a little bit jumpy, I check my
yep.
speed, I notice I do that too. And then, you know, I always have the thought after I do that, well, what am I, you know, I'm not hurting anyone, you know, like, I shouldn't be nervous,
yeah.
shouldn't be checking myself and checking what I'm doing. But regardless of that, every time I see that car that's painted a certain
yep.
way or those blue lights going off, I think, oh, are they after me? Are they going to hurt me? Are they going to harass me? Am I
yeah.
going to make it to work today without being harassed? I mean,
you know, the cop in Kansas that was searching my car told me, you look nervous, because my hand was shaking.
Yeah,
and
of course you did.
Yeah. And I told him, and I also told another cop in New Hampshire once, of course I'm nervous. You're a cop. You have nothing good to give to people. If you give someone, if a cop gives someone a piece of paper, it is not good news.
Yeah.
It means they owe money or they have to go to jail or something bad. Of course I'm nervous. You're the guy with the gun, not me.
Yeah.
If I don't obey you, you will hurt me. If you don't obey me, so what?
They're not there to help you.
No, they are not there to help. They are there to collect revenue or to control or to make things the way... Or maybe they think they're helping. Maybe they think...
Well, they're helping you into a jail cell,
yes,
right? Is that
right.
That's what
they're helping
says.
You to lighten your wallet.
Yeah.
Or maybe cops actually think they are helping the public in general, helping people in general by taking someone who drives 56 and a 55 mile per hour off the road. Who
you
knows?
You actually think there are cops who think that they're helping people by
I
doing that?
I don't know. I think... No, I don't. No, I can't say that. I think there could be cops who think they're helping people.
I don't know what's going through their minds, yeah, but it doesn't...
I think most cops are not very intelligent, and they're very juvenile, and they're control freaks. And they, you know, when they pull you over because you broke a rule, never mind that you're not hurting anyone or threatening anyone or dangerous. If you broke a rule, then they're in charge. Then they can tell you things, and if you don't obey, mm-hmm. they get to do things, and I think that makes them feel good.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I think you're right. And then they also say, you know, if you question why are you pulling me over? I'm not hurting anyone. I haven't hurt you. I haven't hurt anyone else. They say, well, I'm just doing my job. I have to.
Yeah.
I don't make the laws. I just enforce them, right? Haven't
yeah.
you heard that?
Oh, absolutely.
Before?
And,
yeah.
you know, a lot
they're
of people...
They're not thinking. They're just... carrying
yeah.
out,
well, that's
they're
not true.
The hammer. They're not.
They're
the
claiming
arm.
They're not thinking. They use just discretion all the time. I
yeah.
even talked to the Kansas cops about this. They use discretion when sometimes they don't pull over speeders. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they give warnings. Sometimes tickets. Sometimes nothing.
That's
you
true.
Know what if they use discretion.
If you're a young male or you're brown, you know they might pull
right.
you over.
Right. As a matter of fact, this cop refused to use discretion despite my pleading about not needing insurance in New Hampshire, but he says I need it in Kansas. I said, can't you use your discretion? Can't you? He refused to do it.
Yeah.
But in the end, he used his discretion to let me go because I provided no evidence that
right.
I wasn't a drug trafficker.
Right, exactly.
So they use their discretion all the time, but they claim, I'm just doing my job. I must do this. It is what I have to do.
Well, he probably thinks that if he gives you a ticket for not having insurance, you're going to say, oh, well, I don't want to go back to Kansas. I don't want to deal with the Kansas court.
I'll
just I'm
just
going to pay it.
Right.
He thinks there's a good chance
and you know what? Most people will.
But
I won't, by the way.
Most people shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because, really, you got to call their bluff on those kind of things.
Well, it's not a bluff. They will then...
Well, it's not a bluff, but, I mean,
you've got to
maybe call them out onto the carpet,
yes.
I guess, is
yeah.
a better
if,
way to say
if
it.
If you're brave enough to do this, to say, no, I will not pay you your threat money, then what they will probably do, it's not guaranteed, but what they will probably do is send you some letters and threats that you better send us our money than... They'll give you a date that they want you to come into their court, and then if you don't show up, they're going to issue a warrant for your arrest, and if they happen to pull you over at another traffic stop, they'll look that up and arrest you.
Right.
And then you'll be in jail, and then they'll arraign you, and then they'll may set you out on PR bond, which means you can walk free until you go to court, or maybe they'll demand a lot of money from you in order to get out of jail to go to court.
Right.
Because you've already not showed up once. It is a threat. It's not a bluff. But if there are enough people brave enough to say, no, I'm not going to follow along with your tyranny, then their system breaks down. They can't pay for all the people that would refuse.
Right. Well, they don't really know how to handle it when people refuse. Because
that's right.
Most people don't refuse.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
most
true.
People pay and go along.
Yep.
Just as we were saying. So, anyway, getting sort of back to our original
yeah.
topic, which is how do you deal with this anxiety that
yeah.
that you might feel... Just knowing that there are a bunch of arbitrary bad laws that are victimless crimes and not hurting anyone,
mm-hmm.
and you might at any moment be harassed for doing something that is not an actual...
There's no aggression, there's no victim.
There's no aggression, no victim, right. But supposedly it's a crime according to the laws that are there. How do you deal with that?
Well, I presume there's lots of ways. I don't really know. One way, I mean, I get frustrated... And even when I'm expecting it here in New Hampshire during some activism, I get frustrated the cops are doing what they're doing. But I try to let go of that because I know it's happening. I know they're not thinking and they need to be educated. And I know that my frustration isn't really helping me,
mm-hmm.
which is ironic because I don't do that in some other aspects of my life, like when I'm stuck in traffic. I get really frustrated even though it's not helping. But anyway.
Yeah, but after our anger management podcast,
yeah,
you've
right.
been so much
that's
better.
Right. Here's something interesting. At a 420 celebration in Nashua a few weeks ago, there were about 100 activists. This is during the Liberty Forum.
Yep, I was there.
New Hampshire Liberty Forum. There were about 100 activists. And finally, 45 minutes later, the cops came up and two undercover cops arrested someone and all the activists... Surrounded.
And then there were 20 cop cars
yeah.
there in a few minutes.
And some dogs and cop
anyone
dogs.
Who was trying to commit a real crime
right.
in Nashua, rob a bank or
they
something,
could do
they
it
could
right
have easily
then.
Done it.
But at that point, some activists were yelling at the cops, what are you doing? Let him go!
Mm-hmm.
And others were simply asking questions. Others were standing in front of the cop cars without mm-hmm. letting them drive away. And one of them got arrested.
Right.
What I did, which was the first for me, was... consciously always keep a smile while I was talking to the cops.
Uh-huh.
I didn't raise my voice, but I did ask them questions. They were ignoring me, but they could hear me because
right.
I was like 2 feet away from these cops.
Right.
And so I was smiling and saying, why are you doing this? These people hurt no one. Don't you have any real crime? This is victimless. What harm is it to have a plant? Or why are you so scared? We're harmless people. That kind of thing. But I was smiling
mm-hmm.
and I was calm.
Uh-huh.
And I think that might be one way to alleviate some of the tension.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. And I also think laughing at them is very important.
Yes, you know? Laughing at this system.
Laughing at the system. I mean, it's horrible. It is a really bad system. It hurts people. It ruins people's lives for no reason.
In fact, that's all it does.
It breaks up families. It impoverishes people.
Even when the system is helping some people or thinks it's helping some people, like if you say welfare is help, it's hurting others in order to help them. The system only hurts.
Sure, but I mean, well, what I was thinking of specifically is drug, you know,
the
sheer volume of people who are arrested for
drug
possession in this country is
like
staggering.
800,000 for possession of marijuana alone or something?
And the U.S.
in
incarcerates,
jail.
You know, a higher per capita, you know, population of it, a portion of its population than
any other
country. And most of that is for simple drug possession. And those people aren't hurting anyone. They're breaking up families. They're preventing people from having productive jobs where they're actually...
And even if it was bad to have pot or possess a plant, how would putting someone in jail help them and demanding money?
Exactly. It doesn't help them. It victimizes them.
Right. And if there was actually a victim of someone possessing pot, how does putting the pot possessor in jail help the victim? Which there isn't.
Right.
It's just, there's nothing good about this.
Right.
I guess we're getting off topic. So the topic is low-level anxiety.
But it's very important to say this. I was saying it's a bad system, and it does all these horrible, terrible things, which is why this is such an important issue to me. But if you laugh at it, if you're able to put a smile on your face and laugh at these aggressors who are clearly doing something bad, then it gives you power. Because they're not affecting you.
Yeah.
Right, you're not letting them hurt you, at least psychologically. I mean, they might handcuff you, they might arrest you, they might beat you even. But if you keep a nice demeanor and, like, you're not stooping to their level.
So let's take driving around and being nervous of cops behind you as an example, because I think it's incredibly common. So let's say you're driving around your town. And
probably happened to me today.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it happens, like, pretty much every day.
Yeah, because they just sit there. They're not protecting you. They're sit there wasting your taxpayer money waiting for
someone. Or driving by a
speed
trap that is a speed trap.
So let's say you're driving around your town safely, not hurting anyone, and all of a sudden a cop pulls in next to you or behind you or something, and he hasn't turned on his lights. He just pulled it near you, and you see it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Do you feel safer? Do you feel helped?
No.
Do you feel like... if they pull you over, it's for your own benefit? It's
no.
for anyone's benefit?
No.
None
of the above.
Okay, so now, if it helps you...
I feel like I wish I were out of there, or I wish the cop was out of there.
when this happens to me, I still get a little nervous, because I don't like being harassed.
I do too, my heart starts to beat.
Right. And I also feel a little angry, although I try and keep it in check. But what can I think about to, like, laugh at the situation? To actually feel better instead of nervous? I know it would be good, but how do I just laugh at the fact that some guy, just by his presence, can take anyone around him and put them in jail or demand money from them?
That's a great question.
I don't know. It would be good to be able to do.
Yeah. I mean, you could find something to make fun of them. I mean, I guess that's kind of a petty and juvenile thing to do, but you could say something like, oh, he must be in a real big hurry to get to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because, you know...
Like,
you,
actually, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
I was driving home from work one day, and I saw... I saw a conglomeration of cops all converging on this one person who, I guess, it looked like they were pulling over this person. I wasn't really clear, and I didn't have a video camera, so I didn't stop or anything. But it looked like they were pulling over this person because their license plate was not on the car. It was, like, inside the windshield, and they were displaying it, like, in the glass.
Right.
And so there were three cop cars, and they happened to have pulled this person over right next to Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, now that could be funny.
Yeah.
Because then you could say, oh, I bet that guy just ordered a sugar sprinkle, and they're all trying to get it from him. Something like that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I did. And I came home, and I said, man, the cops were all converging on Dunkin' Donuts, and they must have been giving
that
away.
Works.
But,
that works.
I mean, but when I drove by, I have to say, it did make me nervous, because I was driving by this, and a cop car pulled up behind me and was going over to, you know, check it out, and I thought, oh, well, he's after me. I'm nervous now, but then in the end, I just made a joke out of it. And
maybe what could also help to, like, make fun of what you think the cop's true motivations are, because obviously, if he pulls someone over for having a license plate in a window instead of a, you know, on your car or whatever, or driving 1 mile per hour over the speed limit, or weaving within a lane but not leaving the lane, or some harmless thing, then maybe you could realize, you could just tell yourself silly reasons why he might be doing that. Well, he didn't meet his quota today, or boy, this guy must have a really small penis if this is what he needs to do for a living, or whatever.
Yeah, I think you can sort of take those things and not even necessarily have to make a joke out of it. Just know that, you know,
he's a sad person.
Yeah, feel pity for them, you know?
Yeah.
Pity these people that have to abuse, like, normal people who aren't hurting anyone in order to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Another thing, I mean, we talked about laughing and joking, but I don't think that's the only tactic that...
Probably not.
There are some people who just are serious people and don't like to really laugh or joke a lot, but...
Yeah, fuck them. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Mike, you should be inclusive to our audience.
I am.
Yeah, although, like anyone who's listening to this podcast is a serious person who doesn't like to laugh and joke.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Especially I'm sure we get a lot of PhDs without a sense of humor listening to us.
I'm not.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not anything.
You're just a
yet.
PhD, but you have a sense of humor.
I'm not anything yet, actually.
But
I was going to say, we always get way off topic. But what I was going to say was that I think it can also be laughing at the cops is one way to make yourself feel empowered, right? And understanding their motivations and sort of deconstructing those
is
another way to make yourself feel empowered. Another way to feel empowered is to challenge them and to know
that is true. It's dangerous.
Well, no,
I don't mean
challenge them like, you know, a cop pulls you over at a traffic stop or whatever and you start screaming at him.
No.
I mean, there are certainly people who have done that and it hasn't gone well for them. I don't think you need to do that, but just, you know, be polite.
Ask a question.
Whatever, ask questions, right. If they're asking you questions, you can ask questions back to them. And you can do it with a polite tone. You don't have to be aggressive or mean-sounding.
And this will not always go smoothly for you, so be prepared. Because cops like to be obeyed. And sure, some of them are polite and, I guess, nice people when they're not being thugs, but... And they might say, yes, I'll answer your questions, and here's why I'm giving you this ticket, and then walk away. Who knows?
Sure.
But he might, or the cop also might say, why are you asking me these questions? Why? What are you, some kind of lawyer? And then throw some more tickets at you. Or maybe he'll just throw a disobeying an officer charge at you and tow you away to jail right then. Mm-hmm. Be prepared if you're willing to.
The only true crime in America is disobeying an officer,
yeah.
Right? Well, another way to challenge them is not... You know, necessarily when you're interacting with a cop directly, like, say, at a traffic stop or something. But you could just know, like, sit there and know, okay, I'm going to take this traffic ticket to court. I'm going to take this parking ticket to court.
That's true.
I'm not going to just pay it.
Right.
And knowing that will make you feel powerful. And
know that you might win in court and get the charge dropped. Or maybe, even if you don't, it's going to cost the government more for judges and bailiffs and the cop to show up and paperwork.
Yeah,
then
right.
They'll
if
get
you
from
take
you.
It to court, there's always a chance they won't even show up.
The cop might not even show up.
I mean,
yeah,
Mike,
so
that's
just...
happened to you a couple of times, right? You spent your whole morning one time, I believe.
I drove two hours to the court in order to show up for one of their stupid trials.
And they changed the date and didn't even tell you.
No, they didn't change the date. They dropped the charges.
Oh, they dropped the charges
and
they
said,
you
don't have to be here. And so I had to drive 2 hours home.
I know. It was a waste of time, and it was totally ridiculous.
And that was the second time.
But you won. I mean, they did drop the charges.
Right. I mean, the lesson I learned from that's irrelevant. I think your point is, know that you can challenge the system or ask questions or later or now or whatever, and that might help you alleviate some tension and some frustration, low-level anxiety.
Sure, and at the very least, what you're doing, you know, you can publicize it, and you can show other people your example and be the change you want to see in the world, and sort of show other people that, hey, you know, it's okay to ask questions, and it's okay to challenge things that aren't right, like, you know, totally victimless running a stop sign when you weren't hurting anyone, or you know, traffic violations or headlight out or whatever. You know, if you get a ticket for that and they're demanding money for you, and other people see that you're challenging that and you're taking it to court and you're, you know, standing up against it, then that's, you know, that's an inspiration to them.
Yeah. Well, and now, in addition to traffic cops, is there, like, another way that people could feel low-level anxiety from this tyrannical state that we're in? Like, for example, if you wanted... I mean, I've heard of cops ticketing a little girl for having a lemonade stand.
Oh,
and that's probably really rare. But
right.
What if you just want to... You're a teenager and you want to mow lawns in your neighborhood. You're not going to get a business license. And what if a cop comes up to you? Or what if you're, I don't know, going to karaoke and I don't even know what. Let's say you get drunk and you're stumbling home walking because you didn't drive. Mm-hmm. What if maybe you're anxious because a cop might come up to you for stumbling? I don't know. Are there other things other than traffic? Because there's no shortage of tyranny.
They tase people who have diabetes.
And they like to shoot your dog.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we hear stories all the time. We don't have to probably tell our audience all the bad stories that we hear. But
if you're curious about them, call and ask at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
But, I mean, yeah, what you're saying is right, Mike. The point is that traffic stops are not the only thing that scares people. It's also just that there are so many things that you could get...
Go ahead.
But you sounded like you well, such just, an interesting point.
No, I just realized how I wanted to reword my question. Not just fear, but anxiety. So yeah. Let's say you're going, you know, the government-approved route to start a business, and you're filling out other forms and applications. What anxiety could it create in you to have to just want to start a business and say, I will do this for you, customers, if you give me money. That's all you want to do. Mm-hmm. And the government makes you fill out a ream of paper and paperwork and file a business license and pay them money, and you have to get a tax accountant to look over this and that, and you have to file, you know, you have to go to your history of, you know, past transactions and prove that yeah. they were legit and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That can create anxiety too. Not fear, yeah. but anxiety.
Yeah, well, that's enough to make a lot of people throw up their hands and yeah. say, why should I start a business, or why should
that's
I?
That's true, and you that's know. Sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. Well, to deal with that, I mean, it's enough to make some people not throw up their hands and say, why should I start a business, but throw up their hands and say, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy in Keene who
started... Run an unlicensed restaurant or...
Right,
you know,
I've heard of that happening, but here in New Hampshire, or in Keene, New Hampshire, there's a guy who started a homeless shelter without government permits.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
And during the winter, an emergency winter shelter,
yeah.
and the
he
government
he
said...
he couldn't wait to help
yeah,
people.
The government would have taken 6 months to approve him, and then winter right. would have been over, and people would have been dead.
Right.
So he did it anyway, and I don't think he's... I think they're going to take him to court, and they're probably going to let him go or something. I don't know, but...
Mm.
But that's one thing you can do, is just do what you want. Again, there will be repercussions,
I mean,
if the government
yeah,
doesn't like it.
Realize that that has risks. I mean, we're, you know, we're not really...
I'm not... I'm saying it would be a better world if every single person ignored the government. But since
well,
not every...
It would be a better world if the government just didn't exist.
Right, because it would essentially... effectually cease to exist if no one obeyed it.
Well, if no one recognized its legitimacy,
right.
sure.
Right.
Right.
And so I'm not, like, admonishing you for not obeying, not cooperating, but...
Because
yeah. It's very scary and very difficult.
Sure.
Even I do it all the time, and I don't do it all the time because those times it's too scary.
But, you know, at the same time, you bring up a very good point, Mike, that it can feel very empowering to disobey.
Yes.
Especially, I mean, even to just do small little acts of, you know... I don't even know if it could be qualified as civil disobedience, but yeah, non-cooperation. Like,
yeah.
like to say, well, I'm not going to, I don't know, what's a good example of this?
Well, maybe if they, in some states, when they give you a traffic citation, they require you to sign it. And maybe you could sign it and just write, signed under duress next to your name.
Yeah.
That's essentially not cooperating. It gives them what they want, but you're also saying, I'm gonna do this my way. You're
sure.
forcing me to sign, I'm gonna prove it.
Yeah.
Or whatever, just some kind of non-cooperation
or,
might
you know,
help
pay,
you feel better about it.
Pay a ticket in ones or pennies or something like that.
That's right, or pay your taxes. Who doesn't find taxes anxiety?
Oh,
creation?
Yeah.
That
sure,
was great English.
Good job, Mike.
I almost turned into Yoda, but I didn't even get that good.
Yoda might make a special guest appearance tonight.
And when some people pay their taxes, their property taxes, in $1 bills just to make a point. Yeah, they're paying and obeying, but they're making it harder for the government.
Sure.
Or the government people.
Yeah. I mean, it can be...
And hell, you could, when you do something like that, or even something not that drastic, but funny, just the fact that it's funny could help release some of the anxiety.
Sure. Yeah, that feels empowering too.
Maybe what you could do is simply... you know, obey as much as you feel you must, and make a video about what happened and let other people know of the tyranny that's going on, and that can help you feel better.
Sure, yeah, spread the message. So, cool. I think, you know, we covered in a very long, wordy, and winded, long-winded
yeah,
way.
Which is our motif.
That's our modus operandi. We've covered a bunch of tactics to deal with anxiety from living in a police state, and until that police state goes away, which hopefully, that's why we're here in New Hampshire,
yes.
right, Mike?
Free State Project. Look it up.
Right. We're fighting every day for... Well, fighting is the wrong word. We're,
yeah,
we're working, right?
Yeah, working towards freedom.
Towards
some
freedom.
Of us are just living as free as we can.
Right. Anyway, until that, you know, time comes when people actually feel that they're free to live as they want to live, tactics to deal with...
The anxiety of tyranny,
right, are, you know, to laugh at the cops, bureaucrats, whatever.
To non-cooperate
to
as much as you feel comfortable.
To non-cooperate as much as you feel you can. Said exactly what you said.
Yeah.
to talk to others and
I was just
spread
add
the message
that
of what you're doing.
Well, that's the education factor, but I was also right. going to add what we haven't talked about. Just talk to your friends. Just
mm-hmm.
talk it out with people you like.
Yeah.
Because that will...
Share experiences.
Yeah, share and talk
yeah.
and just get it out, get it off your chest, and then, you know, the anxiety won't be there, even though the...
Well, you won't feel alone.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That's another point we barely even mentioned, is okay. that if you're in a place where there are other people who
oh.
feel the same way as you do, and who feel that this is a police state and it's not
Which it is.
It's not okay that, you know, there are so many victimless crimes and so many arbitrary rules and regulations that people are supposed to follow. Then
you will not, yeah.
Yeah, you won't feel as bad about it because you'll know that there are other people who feel the same way.
Yeah. Having
support
of friends and or strangers, having support in what you believe will help the anxiety go away. Like, during the Nashua 420 celebration, when this total stranger, actually a native of Nashua, not an activist, got arrested, 50 out of the 100 activists or so went to
the
jail
station.
And took up two separate donation funds to give to the mom to help bail out the kid.
And showed up at his arraignment.
Showed up at his arraignment
Showed up the next day when he came back to the park.
Yeah, and they supported this kid for merely having lived free and being abused by the cops.
Right.
And that has to feel a little less anxious than being all alone in under the thumb of an abuser.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that's... And speaking of under the thumb of an abuser...
I'm going to punch her if we don't answer.
Mike is... I can't think of a way to spin this that makes you look good, Mike. So I'm just going to say that you're looking for dates tomorrow night.
Oh. Tomorrow night, my calendar is open.
It is open, as it always is.
As it always becomes when we do a podcast.
That's right. It always becomes open. But, you know, you haven't received any emails from our listeners. I'm really disappointed.
Listeners, do you not like me? And if you don't, email me and let me know. And Mike at porktherapy.com.
And you can also email us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
As a matter of fact, at the moment, you can only listen to us on our website, which is porktherapy.com. But
right.
We are struggling to fix the feed.
But we hope by the time this episode is released that it'll be fixed. But you never
we
really
hope,
know.
But aren't holding
we're
our breath.
Kind of, we're inept at building websites, and so we
That's
rely
right.
on other people to do our handiwork. And
and it hasn't been so handy.
Well, there's some handiwork that we do ourselves, but
that's a whole other
talk
episode.
About this on the podcast. But anyway, so our feed is down for the moment, but hopefully it'll be fixed by the time you hear this.
Yes.
And
thank you for listening.
Thank you, and you can friend us on Facebook. You can find us on the web on Twitter. I'm just
Twitter.
Mike, you talk. I'm doing a horrible
no,
job.
You're doing great, but we're done. Thanks for being a listener. We are going to be.
We forgot to mention.
We are going to
we'll be
at the at the Porcupine Freedom Festival in late June here in New Hampshire. It's part of the Free State Project. It's a great, very fun, liberty-oriented camping event. Look it up. Or, if you have questions, call us and ask them at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right.
But while we're there, we're going to be doing live episodes of Pork Therapy.
That's
and
right. Think of your questions now.
And
we will be offering a special promotion. It's very special because I...
It actually is special.
Am I allowed to use that word?
Yes, because it's
special
because we've never done a promotion.
To promote Pork Therapy. And if you want to find out what it is, you're going to have to go and find out for yourself.
We will have a Pork Therapy product for sale.
That's right.
That you will not only probably want to use,
really
but when you use it, you'll really enjoy using it.
That's right. And that's all we're going to say. We're going to keep our lips zipped for now. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Pork Fest.
Thank you. Bye.